Friday in Cape Town. Up north, it's dry. Summer is already there. But welcome at this meeting of the Select Committee of Finance and Appropriation, where we will be dealing with the conditional grants within the Department of Health and the provincial departments. Their spending for the first quarter of the financial year 2009-2010. We also welcome officials from National Treasury, there they are sitting, the National Department of Health, just where are you, just get an indication, are they, yeah, there they are, the DG, Mr. Zuleka, welcome, I received, where's the DG? On his way, because I received a letter that the DG will be attending. And then the AG's office is here. Where is the lady? Auditor General's office is represented. I saw her outside. Okay. Apologies. I received from the members one apology. That's from Honorable Gunda. Honorable Gunda is in the Northern Cape Province doing a briefing on bills regarding cooperative governance and traditional affairs. So he is at the provincial legislature in the Northern Cape. Yeah. And Honorable Chani is also in his province doing precisely the same briefing. That's with regard to the apologies. Honourable members, the objective of this meeting, of this session, in terms of the Constitution, Section 66, indicates that the National Council of Provinces may require a cabinet member, a deputy minister, or an official in the National Executive, or a provincial executive, to attend the meeting of the Council or a committee of the Council to come and account, also in terms of Section 40 of the PFMA. So that is the role of this Select Committee within the National Council of Provinces, being part of Parliament. As I have said at previous meetings, we're not here to fight with each other. We are here to assist, to deliver to the people down there, who's looking to us for hope. And that's our big responsibility. That's the interaction we will have today. In terms of our spending, what did we get? What did we receive in terms of funding? What did we do? What did we deliver? If we couldn't do it, why not? What is the reason? Where do you want assistance? And that's why Treasury is here, from the National Treasury Department and the National Department of Health, and interaction. We also invited yesterday the Select Committee on Health. Their members will be joining us through the morning because they are engaged in other meetings, as well as our members of this committee. There's a Constitutional Review Committee running now and an Audit Committee. So those members will then join us. Reporting will be done on three grants: the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant, forensic pathology services grant, and the hospital revitalization grant. The province this year is KwaZulu-Natal, excuse me, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Gauteng. Now, you're not going to report on all three grants, because in terms of Treasury's submission to us, it's only where you spend 15% and less. KwaZulu-Natal will make their presentation on the hospital revitalization grant. Eastern Cape, the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant, and the forensic pathology grant. Limpopo hospital revitalization grant, and Gauteng, the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant. That will be the procedure. We will start with National Treasury. Are you ready? Are there any documentation circulated? Is this one? the presentation, please make sure that you happen to follow it. It's now 16 minutes past 9. We'll give you time until 25 minutes to 10 to do your presentation. You may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everybody. The presentation that I will be doing here this morning covers the provincial spending as at 30th of June 2009, which is the first quarter. It's based on Section 40, Subsection 4 PSM reports, as well as the IYM data submitted by the provincial treasury. And it's, this information was published in the Government Gazette on 30th of July 2009. And with an accompanying press release published on the 14th of August 2009. The health is at 28.3% of total provincial budgets. That's just some background information. And then just to share with the committee a little bit of background regarding health spending overall before we zoom into the conditional grant. Seven provinces at that particular point in time were projecting to overspend their health budgets. At Eastern Cape, 727.9 million. KwaZulu-Natal, 486 million. Limpopo, 478.9 million. And Mpumalanga, 350.3 million, not seven. Then, in terms of capital, provinces have spent 1.6 billion or 21.2%, which is 39.5% compared to the same period in 2008 and 9. And spending against budgets on health conditional grants in Ag is at 19.3%, and that excludes the Schedule 4 grants. That's just a snapshot of the seven provinces that are projecting to overspend. And it's only Gauteng who's currently projecting to break even, as well as the Northern Cape. So the total projected overexpenditure for health is 2.2 billion at this at that particular point in time. I'm going to go and zoom into the conditional grant. So it's slide 13, and going to just look at where provinces were as at the pre-audited outcome for 2008 and 9. For the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant, I mean, the problems in the Free State with the ART rollout is legendary. We've read about it in the papers. But as at 30th of March, 31st March 2009, pre-audited, the province has spent 100% of its HIV grant allocation. The Eastern Cape has slightly overspent, 100.3%. KwaZulu-Natal has overspent, Mpumalanga has overspent, as well as the Western Cape. In total, this grant, pre-audited, spending is at 98.9%. Forensic pathology services, the Eastern Cape has overspent on this grant, pre-audited numbers 8 and 9, 105.5%. KwaZulu-Natal, 116.7%. The lowest spending for the grant in 2008 and 9 is in the Free State 76. Northern Cape 61.3%, followed by the Free State at 76.7%. To note on the forensic pathology is that KwaZulu-Natal has overspent, like the table suggests here, but in the 2007 and 8 financial year, there was 100 million rand withheld from the province and then reallocated to other provinces. But in 8 and 9, and that was due because of slow spending, but in 8 and 9, the province has picked up the spending, and now we see the 116.7% pre-audited outcome number. In terms of the hospital revitalization, Chair, it's the middle, the table in the middle. That grant last year only spent 82.4% of its total allocation of 2.9 billion. The low spending, particularly in Mpumalanga, was at 42.1% in 2008 and 2009, and then in the Western Cape at 58.1%. In Mpumalanga, the performance of the contractors, contracts were issued, but contractors could not deliver on time, and therefore the slow spending. And then in the Western Cape, an amount of 171 million is to be rolled over, and that was due to the project delayed experiences in both the Mitchells Plain and the Khayelitsha hospitals. The conditional grant expenditure as at 30th of June, which is the first quarter spending. Currently, the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant in total is at 19% spend of the total allocation that is available, which is 3.5 billion rand. Forensic pathology is at 26.9%. Of a total of 492 million. And then hospital revitalization is at 18.7% of a total of 3.2 billion rand. The total conditional grant allocation is 49.3 billion and health is the one sector. If we look at all the conditional grants, the provinces, health together with human settlements take up the largest chunk of the conditional grants. Specific health grants that show low rates of spending include the health disaster response, and that's the cholera grant for Limpopo. The hospital revitalization for today's purposes is at 18.7% and the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant at 19%. The next slide just tries to give a picture specifically on the HIV and AIDS grant performance per province. Although in total provinces spend 19%, there are provinces that have the spending is quite good, which is the Free State at currently 23.8%, KwaZulu-Natal at 20.9%, and then Limpopo is at 32.8% of its total spending already. The projected under expenditure for the grant currently is.
Okay, I don't know how much of a problem it's going to be, but we don't have this slide.
Okay, this slide, unfortunately, we inserted it just before coming here. I need to apologize to the committee, but we can make the slide available, and we will distribute the slide just after the presentation, immediately after. The following provinces are projecting to underspend, and the first one is the Eastern Cape with a total of 347 million, Gauteng 698 million, and Mpumalanga 153 million if we round it off. This slide also we will just distribute the hospital revitalization grant. The projected underspending is again Eastern Cape, 183 million, Gauteng 591 million, and Mpumalanga 240 million. The Free State is projecting there to overspend. This slide is in the original presentation, and this just gives the selected conditional grant spending, the number of provinces that is less than 15%, number of provinces spend between 15 and 25%, and the number of provinces spend more than 25%. I'm just going to focus on the grants that the chairs indicated. We'll look into for the rest of today's proceedings, and that is the number of provinces that have spent less than 15% on the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant, that is Eastern Cape and Gauteng. Forensic pathology services grant is Eastern Cape, and the hospital revitalization grant is KwaZulu-Natal and Limpopo. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you to Treasury. Honourable members, we were also issued with the National Department of Health document regarding the spending of conditional grants in the first quarter. We received this quite a while ago on page 4. They indicate the monitoring of the grants that was ineffective and the reasons for that. Page 16, 21 and 25, the different grants and challenges in terms of spending, etc., from the viewpoint of the National Fund. And I'm just sensitizing the members that we received this and we were supposed to have read it. The National Department will get the opportunity of health, get the opportunity after questions have been asked by members to make their comments and remarks, as well as treasury. That will be the procedure. Also welcome to the meeting, Honorable Mashile, Honorable Monsisi, and Honorable Monsisiwe. Ah, there he goes. He's the whip of the committee. We've got the MECs here, we've got 3 MECs here. And again, welcome. Pardon? Are you now 4? All right, I'm going to ask you, KwaZulu-Natal, please just stand up. You are brand new, and welcome. Honorable, this is from KZN. Eastern Cape. Welcome. I was born in Eastern Cape, so I've got a soft spot for the Eastern Cape, especially Port Elizabeth, because I also studied there. Limpopo. Welcome from Limpopo and Gauteng, the glittering city of Gauteng. All the MECs, well, welcome again. You're putting an example to other provinces and to other MECs from different departments, heading that department in a political capacity. And we've got some difficulties to get MECs here. This is also your home, not only your own province. You are linked and connected to the National Council of Provinces with a mandate we received as members to represent the specific provinces. KwaZulu-Natal, you've got the opportunity, MEC, introduce your team, and then we will give you 10 minutes to do your, 15 minutes to do your presentation, and tell us who will be leading the presentation. You can make your input as an MEC as well.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, colleagues from provinces and the officials. Not only is the MEC a brand new MEC, but also have a brand new team that has just on our second month. Next, on my left, is Dr. Sibongile Zungu, the head of department, who's going to make a short introductory input after I've spoken. And on her left, it's Mr. and Dr. Biela, our Chief Financial Officer in the Department of Health in KwaZulu-Natal. We are grateful to learn that we only have to concentrate on the hospital revitalization. We had prepared the whole package, but we'll go to those specific slides in our presentation, so we'll bear with us when they will be looking for those specific ones. We are actually happy to be presenting that part because we are, as the chairperson has indicated, we are here to interact, not to be best, but to be supported and to be pointing out areas where there are concerns in government, nationally, in terms of poor performance. And therefore, this is also an area, before we can even make our presentation, that we are also concerned about, and we will be making and looking forward to your suggestions in terms of, and also giving our input in terms of our planning, in terms of doing it in a better way. I'll hand over to our HOD, Dr. Zungu.
Thank you, MEC, Chairperson, and honorable members of the committee. As the MEC has indicated, we have a whole presentation, and I'll just indicate the allocations that we have had in total, covering all the grants. And in KZN, we have got 3.03 billion. For conditional grants covering comprehensive HIV and AIDS forensic services, health professions training and development, hospital revitalization, national social services grants, as well as infrastructure grant provinces. And of the Chair, that's the slide, the first slide. And I'll deal with the first and the second slide, and then the CFO will go into the slide that refers to the revitalization grant. And then I'll then go to the second slide. The second slide just gives the total picture of how the province has performed in the first quarter for all the conditional grants. As it can be seen on the presentation, that the hospital, the health professional training and development grant, as well as the hospital revitalization grant, reflect a low spending. But in our presentation, we had, even though this was for the first quarter, towards the end of the presentation, we reflected how we have fared in the second quarter, just covering July and August. So we'll reflect how we have picked up to the end of August. And in terms of forensic pathology services grant, the indication is that we are going to have challenges, and however, we are hopeful that with the amounts that were withheld in the previous financial year, we might be able to deal with the expenditure patterns that are reflected at this point. Then the details of the hospital revitalization grant are going to be brought by the CFO, and we had included a number of areas where we are having challenges at this point. The CFO will then take us through the hospital revitalization grant.
Chairperson, let's skip the rest of the slide and zoom in on the hospital revitalization one, started by the chairperson. Thank you. For the current financial year, this grant is allocated 449 million rand, and by end of first quarter, it had utilized 10.3% of that, amounting to 46.2 million. In the main members, you will note that if you broke it down by economic classification, the bulk of the utilized funding, 24.6 million, was used, as well as 17.9 million was utilized for investment in building the structures, as well as investment in new machinery equipment. Because this is mainly an infrastructure or recapitalization grant in nature. The slide that follows, which is marked my slide number 23 in your handouts, breaks this down in terms of how those particular investments were used. So, shown by district hospitals, the aspects that were for rehabilitation or upgrade, and as well as how much was allocated or utilized for creation of new facilities, including King George Hospital, and new hospital tribute facilities that were put in up in KwaZulu-Natal. To unpack that further, slide number 24 breaks this down to indicate the institutions to which we can attribute this funding by investment made in bricks and mortar, transport infrastructure, health technology, which is dental equipment, medical equipment. Grant management is not split because the management entails to the entire, to all the projects, so only look at the total line on that one. Conventional development is got to regard to training and making increasing efficiencies and already enough staff in terms of new equipment in line with the business plans of the revitalization project.
MRIs, all those four aspects, or several aspects of how the operation utilized, the grant was utilized, where it says the total budget and how much was utilized, and then as a percentage. We said at the beginning that by end of quarter one, we had utilized 10.3% of the grant. Then I'd like to refer the members to the very last slide of this presentation, where we provide a summary that is at the end of August now. This grant has since moved to 16% in terms of expenditure and investment. And that's the progress made thus far. Obviously, that's just to indicate that there's been gradual improvement at the pace that we deliver on projects. Thanks.
Are you done?
I wanted to get the directors of the chairperson if only to talk about revitalization, because we had quite a few slides that talk about other conditional grants as well.
No, I know.
But now, with respect to the revitalization, I think that should be all. SOD might want to add something.
Chair, just to indicate that in terms of the trends that are emerging, there are specific projects that we have identified that are the reason behind the low expenditure on the revitalization grant. These being the Shabisa project as well as the Lower Umfolozi project. These, in a way, they are due to some of the challenges that we have had with the supply chain management processes in the province regarding these two projects. And at this point, we haven't commenced because of those challenges that arose for the two projects. Thanks, Chair.
On page 19 of the document from the National Department of Health, reasons for underspending hospital and revitalization grants with regard to KwaZulu-Natal is a non-approval of critical posts, delaying progress tender for Shabisa Hospital, delayed access road to Rietvlei Hospital, delayed by DOT, and delays in processing invoices submitted for payment. So that is the remark made in their document. All the members, there's time now for questions.
My name is Marco. It was just clarity for me. In certain grants, there is an item compensation for employees. Just I need clarity on that one. In others, it's not there. You see, the second point, I would have thought that much as we are getting the actual figures on the spending patterns, I would have thought that we would get the motivation for non-spending, the actual politics around that, because that's why we are here. We want to understand what the situation is, because my understanding is that we have MTF budgeting and therefore allows departments to prepare in pretty good time for putting up whatever is supposed to be done in order to make sure that there is spending. Secondly, there is DORA, which really details how the relationship between National Treasury, the spending department, should be. And Chair, this is a point that I want really to be informed about. What is happening? You know, why are departments not spending the way they should? Thank you.
take the responses after all the questions have been asked. Or the leave.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Thank you to my province for the good presentation. There are two things. The first is I see there's a negative expenditure on the one slide. I haven't got the presentation in front of me, but that's my fault because this is the first time that I'm aware of since I've been sitting on this committee that a province has taken the trouble to send the presentation in advance so that we can get it in our pigeonholes, and this MP failed to go to his pigeonhole this morning and collect it. So that's well done. But I don't understand the negative figure of 110,000 on the one slide, the hospital revitalization detailed infrastructure slide. But so that's just a technical question. But I understand that these two projects, the Sabisa and Lower Lordley, may have been delayed. I think in a sense I'm echoing what my colleague said just now. Are there reasons that we can assist with to unblock those projects? And if everything's under control, then when will that spending really take off? And can we expect it in the second quarter? Because we're already in August and the spending's only up to 16%, which doesn't indicate to me that we're really making a lot of progress there. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Honourable Leach, we welcome Honourable Bloom to the meeting, member of our committee, and then the DG of the National Department of Civil Rights. Welcome. Honourable Mashile.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have actually taken note that we do have a new team, Chair. And I just wanted to check that whether the new team that we have in KZN is a response to non-delivery by the department in the previous financial year. That is one. Then the next one, Chair, is that whether the new team, as it has got in, is it attending to issues of capacity in project management as well as the supply chain? Are you sorting out these capacity problems to be able to implement the programs? And also just to check that the spending on this particular grant on hospital revitalization, as it has been spent by the previous administration in the department, does it really assist in getting certain hospitals or clinics to operate overnight, those that did not operate overnight? Do we really start approaching in that direction that now is, they have been revitalized in the form of infrastructure, there is lighting, that they can now operate overnight to assist our people? I just wanted to check that, Chair.
Yes, it's one of the priorities that you've listed as a department, as a province, over the financial year. But you have to break it down in quarters in terms of your funding that has been allocated. Is the priorities listed? Can you keep up to it? Do you have the resources to it with? Honourable Harris.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, just a general point for the departments that are here, as well as potentially our staff on the committee. When departments come in and report, and they've been asked to report on a specific grant, like in this case the hospital revitalization grant, can they please endeavour just to give us the slides and the information related to that grant? It's extremely difficult for us to try and get our heads around the information you have when it's all buried amongst all sorts of other information to do with other grants which you're not looking at. So just in future, because we're trying to get up to speed in about 10 minutes on a huge amount of information, and when it's hidden and we have to try and find it, it makes it a lot harder. So if we can just request in future departments just to give us what we're looking for. For this grant, I see it's about two slides back from this one. Back one. One more. Yeah. If you look at this, the allocation for the budget for buildings and other fixed structures is by far the biggest component of the revitalization grants. In fact, I did a little calculation here. If they spend 20% of their building and other fixed structure allocation, then they wouldn't be here today because they would have gone beyond the 15% threshold. Now, if the blockage, so they're managing to spend 20% of their classification on machinery and equipment and on compensation of employees. If the actual blockage then is on buildings and other fixed structures, can the department just tell us exactly what that means? Like, what is the problem with buildings and other fixed structures? Why are you not managing to put the buildings up when you're managing to spend your the percentages in terms of other classifications? Sorry. In the next slide, there's no budgeted. The next slide. There's no budgeted figure for these. I gather these are breakdowns of kind of type of spending under buildings and fixed structure. I would have expected a budgeted figure in broken down in that column, because obviously you're spending to a level in actual expenditure. Do you have those figures? Did you just neglect to put them in, or do you just? It seems to me from this slide that you're just spending in all the different areas and kind of hoping that you eventually hit your budget target. And then the next slide, the DG spoke about technical problems with tenders at Clavisa and Loam for Lozi. On this slide, I can see Clavisa, but I can't see Loam for Lozi. Am I reading it wrong, or if that's one of your institutions and the total expenditure for these institutions on the slide adds up to 449, then Loam for Lozi should be on this list. That's it. Thanks.
Honourable
Thanks, Chair. I don't know what month's life is this. The number of hospital accredited ART service points are 60. Is this all right? Are these hospitals enough to can service the whole province? If not, how many will you need in order to beef up this service point? Thanks.
Any other members wish to ask a question? None. On the MEC, you've got a new team, and you're the captain. You may take the lead to answer. Did you capture all the questions? You may proceed to the answers.
Chair, as it would be expected, the MEC will answer the most easy questions, and then the official will take the most difficult ones. I'll take the last question and then talk about the broad issues. And yes, I just checked with the HOD. We almost are covered in all the hospitals in KwaZulu-Natal in terms of ART programs. The only hospitals that are not appearing on that list are the hospitals that are psychiatric hospitals that are not accredited to be actually giving ARVs. We have even extended to other community healthcare centers. So in terms of hospitals, all of them are now ART sites. Maybe the background to this is important to raise that, yes, the HOD is fully employed in the department. She went through the process of being interviewed and they started this job in August 2009. Mr. Ndoda Biela has been seconded to head the treasury from the Department of Finance in the province. This emanates from a decision that was taken by Cabinet, KwaZulu-Natal Cabinet in July, to say maybe the Department of Health needs a better pair of hands to come and check exactly why not only are we underspending but overspending, because that has an impact in the whole province in terms of we had an expenditure of 1.8 billion rand as the Department of Health alone last financial year. And the team that has been there has not been able to really articulate, indicate very clearly where are these areas, besides OSDs and other issues. So the cabinet took a decision to have a new pair of hands to come in and actually deal with that part. And Mr. Ndoda Biela and Ms. Lorraine Naidu, who is the head of supply chain management, were then seconded from the Department of Treasury. Then the two heads of department of health and that of finance report every fortnight to the two MECs, one of finance and one of the health, and therefore we have a responsibility to report to cabinet every 2 weeks in terms of the progress that has been made by this department. That is why the team that I have was actually at liberty to indicate some of the areas that we see as improvement in terms of the ACAS figures. Among other things that the new leadership has brought in, my HOD and Dr. Biela, was very gross irregularities in terms of certain areas of our operations. As I speak now, we therefore have suspended the person who was heading our infrastructure, the General Manager of Infrastructure and Development, and we are therefore investigating certain areas in that regard. Not only that, we are pushing all the blame to him with regards to certain things that we have found not to be working well, but we just think we need some space and time, and that happened about a month ago. So we are aware and we are concerned also, but among other things that this team has brought in was actually to pick up some irregularities, and therefore those irregularities are being investigated, and we are very confident, and we report every 2 weeks to the cabinet in terms of the progress that we are making. It might be slow, but we think we're in the right direction in terms of picking up some of the challenges that we have actually found the department to be at. I'll give it to my officials, therefore, to pick on the specifics that were raised in this. But I thought that background was important because we are taking a collective responsibility for some of the things that we found, and we are beginning to, as we progress, to do and deliver the service. We are picking up certain irregularities and we are dealing with them in a way that I think is fair in terms of labor relations of this country.
Chair, I'll then follow the just a mention to add on what the MEC indicated on the issue of hospitals, that some of our hospitals serve as mental health hospitals, and the others they are then not accredited. However, some of the sites are not hospitals, so we have more sites than the number of 60 that we have. And then I would go to the slide that does the economic classification of the hospital revitalization grant. And indeed, on the issue of buildings and other fixed structures, at this point, the key areas that we have for buildings are Lower Umfolozi and Hlabisa hospitals. The other areas have been completed in a way like King George, and therefore the movement on machinery and equipment reflects the finishings of those hospitals. And the other sites that we have, some of them are still in the planning phase, and some of them are being designed. There isn't something that is brick and mortar on the ground in relation to that at this point. Maybe just to indicate that the law follows the side of
Chair, sorry to interrupt. I just want to request a point of clarity. For the hospital revitalization grants, are you allowed to spend it on new hospitals, on greenfield projects? Maybe Treasury or the Health Department can just give me the background there, or do you have to spend it on existing structures?
I note that question. Carry on.
Thank you, Chair. Not necessarily answering the question whether we are allowed, but I would indicate that we have approved projects in KZN that are greenfield, that is the Piet Flickersteine and the Dr. John Dube Hospital. And at this point, they are not yet off the ground. They are at the point of planning. And the issue that I was indicating in terms of the Lower Umfolozi is that there is a section that has been done that will thus also have other things happening. And I'll also jump to the next slide where it was indicated that we have shown areas without showing the allocations for those areas. The Hospital Revitalization Grant has other sub-programs in it, one of them being quality improvement that would not relate to the infrastructure, and the other one being organizational development that would relate to the issues of increasing efficiency, that is not necessarily putting machinery. And then there is an area that deals with the health technology that will then reflect as it is in the previous slide around machinery and equipment. And in terms of the issues that relate to the priorities of the department, improving access to services, the areas that are not operational 24 hours would mostly be the primary health care facilities. And at this point, the grant is focusing on hospitals. And those hospitals that have had the almost full advantage of being revitalized, there are changes that can be marked. If we look at the King George Hospital, it's one of the hospitals that are exclusively giving MDR services to the country. And there is a separation in those wards, and there are clear improvements and infection control interventions that have been made. And also, if we look at the separation of the services within that complex hospital, we have a district hospital that is clearly earmarked, and we have a section of that hospital that is also offering dental services. Therefore, there is some improvement in efficiency and also improvement in access for the people of the province as far as the implementation of the revitalization grant is concerned. There would be other areas that relate to finance that the CFO will handle. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll just add some of the questions to fill up. There was a question on as to why some of the financial compensation of employees and not others. This simply relates to the fact that there are underground funded programs that do not require introduction of new personnel. We can use personnel that's already provided for, or we provide for that in the equitable share, and therefore we do not reflect compensation of employees expenditure against those grants. It is therefore absorbed from the provincial equitable share. But where you require the implementation of the grant requires additional personnel, it might be that therefore you use some of the grant money to get those human resources, and therefore you have to provide it in that regard, and that's why you account for it separately. And the question relating to slow expenditure, SCM, and there was a member who asked if we are sorting out SCM and capacity problems with regard to implementation of projects under the revitalization grant. We have introduced, beginning end of this month, that all infrastructure projects are going to be managed monthly. So, HOT, we have written a letter to departments of works and all other implementing agents that the department in KwaZulu-Natal uses to come and give a full account on every project. We have said they must bring principal agents, those consultants managing the projects and works, on a monthly basis to manage progress. And that's actually happening on site, and actually take decisions during that meeting if there's a need for any variations or decisions to be made that might affect projects. We're doing that to improve process time and turnaround time, because in construction, once we've signed contracts and things change, there are very detailed specific requirements that contractors must comply with. Even to change the size of the window, the direction, the door faces, and so on, those processes might just take 2 or 3 weeks or a month if the process is slow. But by instituting these monthly meetings, we hope to deal with all those kind of issues where everybody is present. And we have invited our Treasury Infrastructure Monitoring Team to be present in that meeting as well. We hope that will improve our handle in the way that our projects are implemented by implementing agents that we use. So in that regard, we are increasing our role in the management of our projects as a client from a department of health point of view, as opposed to just leaving it to the departments of works or any other implementing agents, since these competencies that, then that will help us, pick up speed, solve problems faster, and take decisions soon when required to do so. The question of Ulawampolo, remember, I think on the slide it is labeled as Mbangeni Hospital. I apologize for interchanging the use of names there. It is actually the one second on the row on the slide, labeled number 24, which says Atas Under King George. The official name is Ulawampolo War Memorial Hospital, but generally known as Mbangeni Hospital. So it is on the table and accounted for there under that name. The last thing, there was a question as to why equipment was higher in terms of capital classification, higher than actual fixed buildings and fixed structures. And that can be explained by the fact that at times we order equipment because of one reason or the other in availability. We order equipment abroad and it is ordered, we schedule it such that it's ordered up front in anticipation of the future date of completion for installation. Therefore, you might find that before the project, the actual bricks and mortar, the roof is put, equipment has already been ordered because it takes long time for it to be imported from foreign countries. So there are imported medical equipment. Let's explain why we might notice that we're spending equipment at a higher rate than actual. I think that's all for now, Chairperson.
Honourable members, you covered with your questions. I'm going to take follow-up, starting with number two.
Yeah. As a follow-up, we don't have much time, really, to interrogate this further, but I would rather say, Chair, that KZN should look carefully at the monitoring of projects, because that is where the problem lies at the moment. And the explanation given really is not good enough to satisfy us today. Perhaps at a provincial level, the portfolio committees can deal with this matter project by project, because unless we are given a detailed information project by project, we won't be able to know exactly what is going on until the end of the financial year, where we ask questions. But the crux of the matter is that they should focus on monitoring, and they should have people to actually give feedback on each project, so that we would deliver on the ground. That is where our problem is. I wanted to make that remark. Thank you.
You're 100% correct. Also, when we do our constituency work on a regular basis, visit the hospital in our area on a regular basis, report back to the committee, the MEC, portfolio committee, minister, etc. Honorable Lees.
Chairman, thank you very much. I am from KwaZulu-Natal, as you pointed out, and the CFO has indicated that a monthly monitoring program is in place, but I take the point my colleague makes that perhaps we should see the details and so on. And I take your point. In fact, I did visit Newcastle Hospital about a month ago and read various letters to the MEC and so on. And so I'm going to use that as an opening. And the question about employees, that hospital is being run incredibly well. I was so impressed with the management of that hospital. Well, one of the challenges they have is a new pediatric ward, which cost millions of rands and is standing empty because of the lack of personnel and supplies. So the question about the employee costs related to that particular project is actually quite an important one, although I don't believe that the employee costs should come out of the grant funding. But there should somehow be a link between capital projects and the use thereof once they're completed. And whilst I was very impressed with that hospital, I was disturbed that the state-of-the-art ward was locked and not being used at all. So I don't know that my team, and I call it my team, can answer that question today, but I do raise it. The slide which all of my team are simply ignoring, and two questions were asked about it here by my colleague on my left and I, was the one which shows a negative figure for expenditure and yes, and no budget figures. We haven't really had an answer to that one. Thank you.
CFO, you captured that.
Yeah, Chair. As there's already been raised that we don't have much time, but we just need to raise one or two issues that the province can take home, and is to link this hospital revitalization also with primary health care, just to ensure that the systems are right. And with the knowledge that KZN is mountainous areas and villages are far apart from each other, it is very important that also the clinics must be able to operate 24 hours where it is possible, to ensure that you don't subject people to travel long distances to hospitals and be subjected to long queues at the hospitals. I think the new team, as it has come, it must take this into consideration to ensure that the whole health system is operational. And also to just raise this matter, because sometimes, especially with officials, may be having different views on underspending or slow spending. But we just need to put it clear that underspending or non-spending, it actually talks to non-delivery of services. And we view it as non-delivery of services to our people. Not that you can just simply spend as you wish and say, no, we will up the spending towards the end of the financial year. That means you are suspending delivery of service to our people to the end of your financial year, whereas we need to service our people right through the year. And I think the officials should just take that really seriously, that we are not interested in savings as politicians. We're not interested in that. They must be transformed into service delivery. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mashile. Wise words. I note Dr. Tace. Dr. Tace is from my province in the Northern Cape. He's in the Provincial Department of Health. And we had the issue at Garish Hospital in the Makwa in the Northern Cape. And within 8 weeks, he dealt with it to give us another doctor in Garish. In this meeting, I thank you also for your response and your service delivery there. On the MEC, HD, CFO, you can respond to the other questions.
Yes. Yeah, thanks to honorable member who has visited Newcastle Hospital. I've also been to that hospital and didn't be getting the response from the letter sent to me in a week's time. Just to mention that, the Newcastle Provincial Hospital was previously a white hospital in Matadeni, and it's just a stone throw away. It was previously a hospital that was serving Africans only. Now, the regionalization of services in the country, including the Newcastle area, also impacts on that. The Newcastle Hospital is actually earmarked and will continue to be a mother and child hospital. Hence, that is why there is this state-of-the-art neonatal unit that has actually been restructured and created in that hospital. However, the challenges there are also coming in the equipment, with all these things coming stages. Nevertheless, that service is still provided in Matadeni Hospital, which is targeted as to be a regional hospital. I have been to that hospital, and I note the comment by the honourable member. We have actually been in the planning as to what we will do. At least it comes in stages. We have just completed that neonatal unit. We should then make it as a full accredited hospital for mother and child. But in terms of getting in there, the services are still done at Matadeni until we are able to actually get the equipment and every other thing that will then go into that unit. We are very mindful of that, but we are providing that service for now at the Matadeni Hospital until the rationalization process has been done well.
Thank you, Chair. Just to to note the areas that around the health systems development in the province, and also the issues that relate to the underspending that we have in the department. And just of note is that some of the spending might reflect good and well in terms of numbers, but sometimes it's not quite appropriate spending in some of the areas, and it does become a problem when you cannot account for what you did later on with that money. In this particular instance, I'm relating to the delayed spending in the two Revite projects, and where there is some scrutiny that is being made on some of the procurement processes around those two. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think we'd like to note the comments of the members and the emphasis on the matter they've raised on primary health care and its importance, as well as I would like to make one comment on underspending and actually amplify the point that HOT is making, that while we really see it's very important that spending moves ahead, we are putting more emphasis now on the very poor money for investments or expenditure that we make. So members will probably have to pay with us for the next few months as we come in here. The meetings that we have asked for, indeed I intended, the first one is going to be on the 30th of September, to look at every project in its own merit in full, in terms of how much was put against it, it was budgeted for, and for what was this investment being made. And if they are moving in the direction that you wanted to get ready for money for, in terms of government investment in those projects. Because you will find that some of the off-expenditure items that go in there might not necessarily be the ones that are adding much value. So in our scrutinization of those projects, when we meet, so when we have these monthly meetings, which we are going to launch on the 30th, that we'll be able to analyze that and redirect funds. This also relates to the slide that the member said has a negative 110. Probably we should have explained that better. This is just a reclassification of what the project is, whether it's rehabilitation or an upgrade. So it's really an accounting exercise. We'll try to explain it more better next time. But that's the very common issue that we're going to have to manage that trade-off, that probably is useful for us not to just want to bother a lot, that the expenditure is below 10 and then we need to pump it up, which might then be a bit reckless, so that we don't get into trouble with Parliament and the National Treasury. So we will deliberately increase our attention on that. We are getting very poor money for every rand that we invest. And once we are satisfied that we have done so and still monitor that we are able to deliver at the pace and sufficiently at the pace that we deliver. Because the concern that members raise is that underspending equals means non-delivery. That is exactly the view we share. Because spending alone, if this were 20% and so on, but is not matched by what you see on the ground, I think it's even a bigger problem. So we really wanted to emphasize that point, that we need space to put mechanisms in place, that we monitor that and make sure that indeed the expenditure has happened, it is about 15% or is at a rate that will essentially be recommended. But it is also matched by non-financial performance in terms of projects that are up on the ground and the quality of those projects. So we don't just hastily spend money paying up the exorbitant prices or compromised quality of the investments that we make.
Yeah. I'm going to give Treasury now the opportunity to make their input remarks, and after Treasury, the National Department on Health. You may hear.
Thank you, Chair. I think with the explanation that the MEC has given and the manner in which we've been working together with the province and with National Health to assist in turning around the department, and expenditure, I mean, we are quite happy and confident that the new team will deliver, and when the CFO says that, the emphasis is on getting better value for money and ensuring that practices that might have been there in the past are not repeated in future, which led to the over expenditure last year. I think from our side, we just want to support the province in their efforts, as well as the department in turning the Department of Health in KZN around. Thank you.
Eugene, from your side?
Let me not make a comment and ask the people who are responsible for this particular project to do so.
You're leading that team?
If you may. Dr. Chetty or the gentleman at the back, I will comment on our views on the matter. Thank you.
That's why it is appearing on the name of the Impangeni. Because sometimes maybe when you see the expenditure getting under their name, it can maybe cause another complication. Thank you.
DJ, you satisfied with your team?
I'm very happy.
This is a quick follow-up.
Mr. Chairman, I'm concerned that the Brazilian national team is going to leave now, and there's a question which arises out of the National Treasury presentation. And if it affects KwaZulu-Natal, perhaps we need an answer then. On their slide 13, the comment is made, concerns have been raised over the provincial withholding of conditional grant funds by provincial treasuries to address provincial-wide cash flow problems. I wouldn't think that applied to KwaZulu-Natal, but perhaps National Treasury should tell us which provinces it does apply to so that KwaZulu-Natal can deal with it if they're going to leave.
Thanks, Chair. I think the concern was specifically raised in terms of the Free State and last year's issues with the HIV and AIDS rollout program.
Free State. Thank you for your presence coming to this committee. Let me see for leading your team, the new HUD, CFO, the brand new team. We wish you well. You've got a serious and a huge responsibility. Not only you, all MECs in health, all MECs in government, but specifically health. Because if you haven't got good health, you've got a problem, then you can't do your work. So we wish you well. You're welcome to stay. If you want to leave, we will then release you. All the members, in the next province will be the Eastern Cape. We will ask the question, why KZN, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, Gauteng, in that order. In that order, we receive the physical presentations before the meeting, and that is part of the answer. Eastern Cape, you're welcome. Introduce yourselves, your team, and you can proceed then immediately.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will introduce the team, but first I'd like just to extend to the Honorable Committee the apology. The HOD is not here on account of another important assignment. We've had to share the responsibility. We have another assignment that required both of us to be present, but it could not be possible, hence we had to divide ourselves between these meetings. Having the team is the CFO, Mrs. Vaz is behind me. She's also accompanied by Dr. Matuane, who's the General Manager of Hospital Services. We also have General Manager Mr. Mtuzula, who's on the infrastructure side. In the manner of preparation, Honorable Chair, we had prepared on all the conditional grants initially, but your guidance is well appreciated that we only have to concentrate on the two grants, HIV-AIDS, as well as the pathology services. The CFO will do the presentation. I may come back just to tie up some issues. When the time for National Treasury to speak, they would also speak on what otherwise nearly shocked me, that in the current budget for that grant, our province is projecting to underspend by an amount that was given. It really shook me. It was horrific to hear that. But I, having gone through their presentation, I understand what they could have been referring to. But I'm sure they will clarify that, because that 347 million is amount remaining to be spent for the rest of the year than it representing the under expenditure that is projected. Thanks, if I can, with your permission, Chair, invite the CFO to speak to the matters.
CFO, you may proceed. You see, that's the other function of the NCP. We bring together departments to speak to each other. Sometimes we pick up outside, they don't want to speak to each other. So, yeah, you've got your opportunity. CFO, please proceed.
Thank you, Honorable MEC, Honorable Chair. Honorable members and colleagues, good morning. We'll deal directly with the two grants that have been underspent, the comprehensive HIV and AIDS and the forensic pathology.
Please indicate the slide you're going to be using. I don't see numbers, etc.
The first slide is dealing with the executive overview, which deals with the allocation, the amounts received for the first quarter, the amount spent, and the 2 months spending, July and August. And to acknowledge the fact that the two grants have had challenges in spending. The HIV, we had quite a number of challenges with our compensation of employees, billing codes between bus and person, and also the payment to NHLS. But we have sorted out the problems now with NHLS being paid centrally at head office by the finance section. So far, the HIV and AIDS has moved to 105%. But my colleague, Dr. Matiwane, will deal with the remedial action as well as the reasons for the understanding on the two grants. Also on the forensic pathology, we had challenges with a transfer of funds to KUHA. The reason was the service level agreement that had not been signed yet, and an addendum that had to be included. But that has also been resolved with a forensic pathology having met the 5 months expenditure now of 42% by the end of August. And I will also allow my colleague, Dr. Madiwane, to deal with the reasons, the challenges, and the remedial action that we have taken as the province to sort the problem. Thank you.
Okay, you may proceed.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, Chair.
Thank you for your mic, please.
On the third page of the presentation, it's the slide that talks to the forensic pathology grant. The reasons are given as per the CFO's presentation. The main challenge really was in terms of our implementing agent, which is KUHA, where we had to finalize the contract. That contract has been finalized. The funding has been transferred. The other challenge, Chair, is on both grants, the issue around the compensation of employees again. The challenge there is that we're having challenges in linking the personal and the bus codes from the conditional grant side. We've put together a team that is actually working on that, and at the present moment, most of those have been sorted out. On the next slide, it talks to the comprehensive HIV and AIDS grant. In this one, the main challenge, the first one being the issues around the COE, but the second one being the issues around payments to National Health Laboratory Services. What we have done as the department on this last slide is that we've actually restructured how we pay the National Health Laboratory Services and centralized them for all the grants, and now we have an accelerated payment approach that puts us within the 30-day process. So these are the key issues, Chair. But I think what is of utmost importance is that in both grants, the service delivery is continuing, and it was just the issues of technical payments that were delayed.
Are you done with your team? Members? Questions? Did I pass the ball to Queen?
Yeah, you did, but I think it was because the presentation was very fleeting. I'm going to need a few minutes.
Honourable Machine Lane?
Yeah, Chair, it looks like
the department is plagued with a lot of restructuring or reorganization of the unit in the special unit structure payment. And also the MEC has raised with National Treasury about the projection of understanding that not aware of that. There is still a lot of work that the department needs to do to ensure that they've got all the restructuring and the realignment of services, and so that they can quickly get into actual service provision. And one would actually encourage them to quickly sort out their institutional arrangements, so that they are able to move, and the accounting of what happens on the ground, it must be clear within the department, so that there are no figures that just get lost out of the system, and which will, at the end of the day, amount to nonsense delivery. Thank you, Chairman.
Honourable Schilling, if you're right, if I could indicate on what did they spend in the first quarter. Get the amounts here, but what physically happened? We see Kuga, etc. Anyone else?
Mr. Chairman, indeed, one of the things I'm battling a little bit with this presentation is acronyms. You have to kind of, it's very difficult reading when you have to think, now what on earth is a COE? And then you have to go, and oh, it's a compensation employee. So I really would urge people not to use these non-standard acronyms. It really makes it very difficult in a few minutes to understand what's going on. I mean, there's another one I was battling with just now. It's NHLS. Now, I don't know what NHLS is, but I've finally worked out that it's National Health Laboratory Services, I think. So please, if we could just use very simple language, even if it means there's a few more words in the thing. But to get to the meat of the thing is that the we're talking about employees again here. I'm not comfortable yet about the use of grant funding for employees. I've raised it at previous meetings, and are these employees who are just contract employees, or are they permanently employed employees that we're talking about? I just need some comfort on that one.
Anyone else? Honorable Harris?
Chair, it's more a comment than a question, simply because I'm finding I don't really have enough to base a good question on. And I'm afraid the department had the misfortune of coming after KZN, who reported to us breaking down by economic classification and breaking down by project. I mean, unless there's only really two projects where these two grants are going to, then there should be a lot more detail in the reporting.
Honorable Bloom.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. This task team, joint task team, is there any time frame for them to complete this whole thing and report back?
Report back?
That the task team that they are saying that is working together to sort out this problem. Now my question is there any time frame? Because this task team can't be there forever.
Got that one. Anyone else? MEC, you and your team can't respond.
thank you, Honourable Chair. Well, let me express sympathy to, I think, the concerns raised by members in terms of the adequacy of information, the manner of presentation of information. I think it's a matter that in the next other presentation we will ensure that it is adequately taken care of. I again take the point, I think both the CFO and the Mr. Matuane. For instance, on the forensic pathology grant, clearly it is a grant. grant funding allocated to different projects, for which I think the committee is within its right to have asked information that's specific to those projects. I think if it can be provided now, so I would request that be done. And perhaps maybe I should take the committee into confidence and say that one of the other things that we have identified as a challenge that we're working on together with provincial treasury is that to do with helping in the timeliness payment of creditors, because it has become one of the issues flagging workings of the department, leading to accruals that are taken up year on year. So it is a matter to which we have put in place together with provincial treasury a team to intervene to help the department to be able to be on top of that matter. If one had asked for time frames, when should we expect to see results in terms of that? That team reports continuously monthly to cabinet, that is the provincial executive council, in terms of what already that team has moved into the department and attempts to get us to improve from a capacity point of view in terms of the human resources at the disposal of the department, in terms of the financial capability that we have. That team has already moved into the Department of Health. And then I have just had to confer with the National Treasury on the matter to do with that projected understanding, because I'm fully aware that, in fact, we're going to overspend in that area because there are even the new regimes that are being sought to intervene earlier in some of the cases, for instance, with respect to HIV and AIDS. But what has not happened was the projections going forward being finished to National Treasury so as to make a sense. Only what reflects there is amount spent to date, and that is the remainder to be spent in the year. But it has not been broken down to show what is going to be happening in the following months until the year end, and therefore it only reflects as money for whose projection has not been made. It's a matter, again, that has to do with how the information is presented so as for it to make it to be edible. They may add then on the specific projects to which, for instance, the forensic pathology grant, a specific project there, and I'm aware that given the volume of the work to be done, we're going to have an over expenditure there. We're running short of about 8 million. But it can be broken down, and I take the point that the information should have been presented as such.
Thank you, Chair. I will ask Dr. Madiwane to detail the list of projects, but we do have them, Chair, although we did not stipulate those. And we did not make copies for those. He will talk on the grant funding for compensation of employees for the two grants. We take the point that we should have provided more details, but it was an oversight, Chair. We apologize, although we do have the information with us. The task team that has been formed, Chair, relates to a finance task team that is speeding up the payments on National Health Laboratory Services. We are doing this because of the complaints that have been received. Previously, the institutions were making payments to NHLS on their own, and this delayed. We are also taking advantage of the discount that they provide to the department. So far, we have paid 79 million, and we are up to date with the payments on National Health Laboratory Services. On a monthly basis, we receive the invoices, get the institutions to approve or confirm receipt of services, and we then make the payment at head office finance. The team that deals with the compensation of employees and the PESA link calls, we have also included a team from finance to deal with that issue. And the targeted date is the end of September, Chair. Dr. Matiwan will deal with the rest, and I've got a list of the institutions.
Yeah, I've got it, Honorable Moshishi. Excuse me.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the forensic pathology grant is a grant that is a fully funded grant for takeover of forensic pathological services, and so the compensation of employees is part of that grant as well. We have estimated to build 15 mortuaries in the Eastern Cape and 40 holding facilities. And at the point now, we have already built 13. There are two that are in the process of being finalized. And there are 5 holding facilities that are also in the process of being refurbished and revamped. So there is a detail in terms of where the projects are. And that is why I was saying, in terms of the actual processes on the ground, these activities are actually happening, and it was the technical issues that were a major challenge. Also for the HIV and AIDS grant, also it allows for payment of compensation of employees. Just. So those are things were the two major issues that I wanted to comment on.
Are you done with your responses? Then I'll give the opportunity to Honorable Moshishi, Leif, and Siwe, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, Chairperson, I'm saying that the presentation, it is empowering. It doesn't really give us a lot of information to be able to evaluate properly in terms of comprehensive HIV AIDS programs, and also the development in terms of infrastructure grant. Your report, because it's not broken down, it doesn't assist us to be able to see a picture of before and after. It doesn't give us that type of picture. You see, if you have got a grant, and here on your page, I don't know what slide is this, it's a hospital revitalization grant. There are a number of hospitals here, including Cecilia Makiwan Hospital. You're talking about the funding that has been made available in terms of the revitalization program. But you go to some of these hospitals like Cecilia Makiwan, the queues are still very long, and the equipment as well leaves much to be desired. And you look at the conditions, there doesn't seem to be any improvement in the conditions of the hospital. Now, all we are saying is it would have been good at least had you broken down this particular report in terms of what was budgeted for the revitalization of some of these hospitals, so that we can be able to see for ourselves if money was supported to do the actual work that it was supposed to do. So I'm saying here, having not broken down, you know, your budget in terms of the program, it disadvantages us, because the narration on its own is not helping us. Thanks, Chairperson.
Can I propose that it actually, as my colleague has just pointed out, if the bit of a waste of time for us to be sitting here with this kind of reporting. Can we propose to be more constructive about it? That the department, if as the finance executive says, has these figures, that they put those figures into a report with clear explanations of where the problems are and what needs to be done, without acronyms, please, and submit that report to your office at some point in the future.
Chairperson, to add to that, maybe also at least the doctor is saying here that there is facilities being put up. Can you also submit at least where these facilities, so that when we do oversight, we physically check if those things are there, because I know the Eastern Cape is having a history of saying that there's a building there and there's no building.
Looks like we must go to the Eastern Cape. I think it's a fair request that order that we ask the province to come up with a detail. It's today Friday, give them time until Wednesday. If they can respond by Wednesday to Mr. Rento, our secretary, you may respond to questions that was follow-ups. Then Treasury, you will have the opportunity, and the National Department.
Correctional service. The former president reported once to us that there was supposed to be a church, and this church was budgeted for by a certain a church, yes. And when they went to look for the church, there was no church. But millions has been spent on the church. So there's a history. It's not correctional services. I mean, we can account for how many people are there.
Honorable members, it depends on which direction they took and the road they took to get to the specific church. Honorable members.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, what I'm saying is that our colleague from the Eastern Cape, if there are certain problems and challenges which are quite serious, let the committee know about them now. Let's not discover those problems ourselves. Let's just be open and share them amongst ourselves. That is all that I'm saying.
Can we see?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think the respectful thing to do, Chair, is to furnish the committee with the information as requested in a form that will enable the committee to relate better to the situation. I can see exactly, I think it's the problem with summarizing too much the PowerPoint presentation sometimes. Information critical gets to be left away. I think that for me the starting point is the presentation of the information. I think therefrom we can be able to interact with the matters intelligently. There's nothing that is worth saying on what Honorable Bloom is saying. I guess it doesn't...
We're not dealing with churches point. Now, with hospitals, etc. We'll come to the churches. It's a good place to be. Are there any other responses from the province? Treasury?
Thank you, Chair. Just maybe a plea from our side, because we use the in-ear monitoring and management tool, and we plead with the department to use it as a management tool. And then the way in which they can use it as a management tool is to provide them with early warning signals where there's possible areas of overspending. Now, the way that the province submit the data, their actual expenditure, they record. They don't indicate in that in the tool, and this is what I explained to the MEC, the projections. So therefore one will see that under expenditure there. It is news, I'm not sure whether the National Department of Health is aware of this, but this is news to us that the department is saying they're going to overspend on the HIV and AIDS budget, because nowhere since the beginning of this financial year were there any indications that this budget is going to overspend. And this is an issue that I want to plead with the CFO particularly and the HOD, that they should use the tool provided to empower all the necessary role players to make informed decisions about whether this province would need additional funds or not. We are finalizing, or we're moving towards finalization of an adjusted budget, and nowhere have we seen in the numbers that they presented to us that they're actually going to overspend. And I still don't know whether, I mean, based on what we have in front of us, even if we look at August, there's still no sign that there's going to be a problem. So my plea is that please complete the projected expected expenditure for the remainder of the year so that we can get a complete picture of the spending trends for the department. Thanks, Chair.
Do the province have the tool that was referred to? Yes?
Then we do.
Okay. And you can comply then with what is requested. If you need assistance, that's why we're here. Tell us you need assistance, 1, 2, 3, 4. Then we can help. National Department of Health?
Thank you, Chair. This time around, I would like to actually follow the example of the MEC, that perhaps we can interact better after we've got the summarized information, and then we'll be able to assist the committee thereafter. And, of course, in relation to the issue about overspending and underspending, we would rather engage at the moment first with the Treasury and with the province so that we can sort out some of those perhaps misunderstandings. Thank you, Chair.
Then we can go forward. MEC, thank you. With your team, Eastern Cape, the members for your questions. The next province will be Limpopo. Yeah. Limpopo, MEC, welcome again. Please introduce yourself, your team. Do you all have the documents from of Limpopo? This one with the dot on it.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, DG, HODs, and CFOs present this morning. Chair, let me start by saying I was a little bit worried when you indicated that you had soft spot for some of the provinces like Eastern Cape, and later on you indicated that you were also from Northern Cape, and you left me a little bit confused.
I just said that
however,
a very important occasion qualified.
However, I was encouraged and comforted by what you said in terms of the importance of all of us being here, that you are here to assist, and indeed we see it that way, and that enhances the commitment to be part of this process. And I wish to take this opportunity to thank you all for the comments that I've heard thus far. With me is the HOD, Medlamini, and the CFO, Ndade Mushwana, and the lady behind us is the acting CEO of the Polokwane and Mangwe complex, that is our tertiary hospital, that is also being revitalized. Chair, I am going to leave the details of the presentation to the HOD, except to indicate that indeed it is a concern that we have underperformed in terms of the national norm. And as the political head, I did take the opportunity to sit with my colleagues from the Department of Public Works and Treasury to look at how best we can improve in terms of spending on the hospital revitalization grant. Of course, mindful of the importance of this intervention to improve our infrastructure backlogs and to enhance service delivery. We have since formed a task team, obviously, that comprises of a technical team that will emphasize on the issues that one member raised in relation to improvement of project management, because we think that is at the heart of improving on the expenditure patterns, but also on the quality of the services that are provided. I would want to refer members to, I think it's page 4, what is this, slide 4 of the presentation, just to take us back into the expenditure patterns previously. If you look at the hospital revitalization grant, Chair, Honorable Chair, you would see that the province has been has not been doing badly in terms of the expenditure. However, we would like to improve, obviously. And my HOD has indicated that last financial year, during the first quarter, the expenditure was slightly better. And the reasons, the major reasons, obviously, are the reasons that other provinces have provided, that you have a challenge of an implementing agency without really apportioning blame, as I said, and pointing fingers. That is a fact that we need to look at, I think, as a country, not just as a province, to say how best do you deal with the fact that you have an implementing agency, which is a sister department, which at times, maybe not out of their own making, too, due to the capacity issues within that department, impacts on your expenditure patterns or on your ability to be able to spend at the required norm and level. It is a fact that the under-expenditure was as a result of contractors having been terminated by the implementing agency and not acting fast enough to ensure that they are replaced. But there are other reasons, obviously, and I'm going to hand over to the HOD to explain the details of our expenditure in relation to this grant. Then we take note of what has been said, so that in future we know that we focus on the grant that is not moving. What we did was to focus on all the conditional grants. So we're noting what the members have said, and in future we'll just focus on that and give more details. Thank you.
Thank you, Chakasim, and thank you, members. I would like to speak to slide number 14 and 15, because that's where the hospital revitalization grant is. And as the MEC has said, we have not performed well in the first quarter of this financial year, having spent only 11% of the grant instead of 25%. And as members can see, that the bulk of the money has actually been allocated to infrastructure development, where we've only spent 11.5%. The other three components of the grant have also not done well. But these, as members can see, they are actually dependencies of the completion of infrastructure. The reasons for under expenditure, as the MEC has explained, is that we had at Litaba, Tabamombo, and Maputumalati contractors that were not performing well, and they were terminated. But unfortunately, we've only had new ones appointed and being on site only on the 8th of September. So they are on site, and we are saying that with them now being on site, we will see a improvement. And like my principal has said, the change or the improvement will only be seen perhaps in the third and the fourth quarter. We have, as already mentioned, this team that is looking jointly at monitoring between provincial treasury through the IDP process, the Infrastructure Development Improvement Plan process, and also the public works itself. And we've come up with a turnaround strategy to address this. And one of the outcomes, as I said, or the outputs, as I've said, is that the contractors, new contractors, have been put on site as of the 8th of September. And public works has also is in a process of appointing what they call flags of works at its site, to monitor at each site, and also that is to improve and to monitor on a monthly, you know, continuously the performance of the contractors and to pick up any other deficiencies in that may be taking place in time to be remedied. So with the other components, Chairperson, like I have said, they will improve as we complete those infrastructure. The other big challenge that we were having with this infrastructure is that we are building on the same site. So these are not greenfields. We are actually demolishing and building. So those dependencies also give us a little bit of a challenge, because if one contractor is not performing, then it delays the other contractors because they have to wait for them to finish. So that is why we've not been performing very well. But like I have said, Chairperson, we are addressing the issues, and with our assistance from our political leadership, we will spend the money, and we will actually give the we will be able to do the constructions and deliver on this particular grant.
Are you done?
Other members, questions?
Thank you very much. Chairperson, you see, the MEC and the team are saying that it is true that they have not performed well, and saying that the contractor. I'm interested to know this contractor, how much funds were involved in this whole thing, and the new contractors, what is the new contract of them? I will have follow-ups after the response. Thanks, Chair.
Chair,
thanks. Just to expand on Mr. Blum's question, the reporting here is admittedly better than the previous province, but still, at the project level, we still need a little bit more information. With regard to those three projects that were terminated, can you give us some idea of how many discrete projects there are under the hospital revitalization plan? I remember you... You expanded slightly, but maybe can you just give us a brief list so we can work out if it's kind of three of six, then it's a serious problem. And then maybe this question is more for Treasury, but the department or the province can comment. But the first slide with the trends and allocations, you can see that the allocation has dropped by about 50 million rand. I'd just like either Treasury or the province to explain what drives that decision to cut a conditional grant? Is it something where Treasury decided the province has needs which are 50 million rand lower, or the province doesn't have the capacity to spend in this coming year, even though they spent the year before? Or does the province go to Treasury and say we're actually looking for a lower allocation in that conditional grant? I'd just like to understand how that process occurs.
Thanks,
Chair.
I've taken my question from 14 and 15, and then I'll go to page 10, where the department wants to transfer the 15 million for goods and services to pay an outstanding amount for housing. My advice is, won't it be possible that you set in the motivation to the treasury for that amount and you leave that money to continue with the services? Thanks.
Just repeat that one.
They are misleading us of the 15 million. Thank you very much. We'll get that other man. We'll get the other man.
Now,
the MECs would like to confer. We can give them some time to check. Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, the first thing that I want to say is that when we request our colleagues from the provinces to come and make presentations about some of this class, it means we do have some information, and we would love to collaborate it and verify it with them. And in those instances where there are problems within the provinces, like we said before, it goes if the provinces from the onset disclose these problems. But in an event of a province keeping quiet despite the numerous problems that they have, it doesn't occur well for service delivery in some of those provinces. We know that there are provinces, one province in fact, which has cried out for assistance from national, so that they should be assisted. I mean, with capacity building, personnel, and so on, in order for them to be able to run an efficient health service. But some of the provinces which keep quiet despite the problems that they have, it's not good. Limpopo is one of those provinces that is known, at least in education, for having children learning under trees. Like the Eastern Cape. Now, with this type of slide here, where you have something like what percentage? A very small percentage on expenditure for the year ending 2009-2010 grant. It means we can't talk of hospitals or clinic and the trees, but all it talks about here is non-delivery of services. That is what it is talking about. And when our colleagues say the problem is it's contractors, that the one contractor built and then it doesn't finish, so the other one cannot build, and so on. Those are technical issues that I don't think the committee would like to hear about. We want our colleagues to come out openly with respect to the problems in procurement and all the other problems. But our colleagues obviously are quiet. And we won't get anywhere, I mean, if we move at this pace and we move the way we do. We want. All we are saying is let's just be honest with each other so that we can be able to take the full spectrum. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you, Honourable
Mufisi. When we started this meeting this morning, we indicated the province must put the real picture to us. One of the meetings you had was for the conditional grants in sports, arts, and culture, different provinces, departments. And one of the provinces put the reality on the table. And we knew what to do, what Treasury can do in assistance, the national department. So zoom into your challenges as well. In the Northern Cape, we sit with a new mental health facility, hospital with a contractor, which experience huge problems. But we must deal with it in the province and with Treasury. We can't close our eyes if it doesn't exist. It's there.
Chairman, for a minute earlier, I thought perhaps I was in the meeting of the Mafia because people were talking about terminating contractors. But I gather the contracts were terminated. But that's just said in jest. And particularly from the Department of Health talking about it. Mr. Chairman, clearly the problems that have been highlighted seem to be around actual building of buildings and contractors and so on. But I'd like to know, on slide 14, health technology, not a cent has been spent. And if it's technology, you can, I presume, buy it from anyone. But perhaps you could explain that. And as one runs through the other components, which are relatively small, so they won't really result in the low percentage, but surely we should be spending there as well. They really are incredibly low. Have we got any explanation for those? Thank you.
My experience with the question of contractors, do they have the capacity to do the work? What is their track record? Where do they come from? What did they do in the past? Is there something to go and see? This is what they built. Is it quality work, etc.? Any more questions? Yes, one more.
Mr. Chairman, yes, there was one. Sorry, I left off. I think there's about 50 million rand being transferred to the province in excess of what they've spent on this particular grant. So that money is, I assume, sitting somewhere earning interest. Now, how do we deal with that interest? And I'm looking at National Treasury now. Who does that interest belong to? Does it belong at national level, or can the provinces just then spend it as they see fit?
Although MSC also referred to the mother or sister department. Yes, sister department. I take it it's public works. What is the problem then with public works? Is it a capacity problem, etc.? Tell us that we know what's going on. You may respond, MEC and your team.
Let me just respond to the issue around honest disclosure or honest reflection of the kind of challenges that are there. I think we agree that unless we are honest and we indicate what our shortcomings are, we'll be able to get the kind of assistance that we need. And I think that's the approach that we took into when we were compiling this report. And I did indicate, Chair, and acknowledge that there are issues of capacity, both in terms of project management, both in terms of personnel. I mean, and some of these issues are also taken up by national and ourselves to appoint, engineers within the departments who are going to be able to assist us, especially on infrastructure programs and projects. So, yes, there's honesty in terms of the capacity issues. But I am going to allow the HOD to, and of course, we are saying we're in the first quarter. The HOD and myself are saying we're putting all measures to ensure that we spend what has been allocated. And hence, in my opening statement, I referred you to the expenditure patterns of the province to show that whilst we didn't achieve 100% expenditure. You know, there were efforts to ensure that we utilize the maximum that was provided. I'm going to allow the HOD to deal with the issue of technology. Remember, she reflected on some of the things that are dependencies, but I'm going to allow her to be able to respond on the things.
Thank you, Chairperson. Like the honourable member has mentioned, that these might be small amounts. That is why in my presentation, remember, I did say that these small amounts are actually reflected. We're waiting for the infrastructure for that technology to go in, because this is medical equipment that is supposed to go into those wards and those theatres that are completed. So that is why we cannot, you know, we can't pay before it's delivered, and you can't order and store it in a storeroom, because then there's another problem again. So that is why I said that it is actually dependencies. What was that was about? The first question that was asked was about how much would these contracts cost. It's actually 71 million. But I'd also request if the chairperson, the members will allow that, like the Eastern Cape, will submit a comprehensive report on the individual projects, where we are with them, and how much we spend on each one of the individual projects. I've also mentioned, although like the member has, honourable member has said that in passing, that we actually have Thabamopo Hospital, Idaba Hospital, Maputa Malachi Hospital, Dilokong, Kenzani, Thabazimbi, and then we also have planning for Musina Hospital in this financial year for this grant, in this particular grant. But if the chairperson allows, we will then send in the comprehensive report on individual projects.
It would be applicable to give that detail in a written format. Any other response? Honourable Bloom, you indicated that you wanted to follow up.
Yeah, no, I think that it's fine if we can get a detailed response. Even that 71 million rand, is it that the department is losing now, it's gone, or what is the situation of that 71 million rand?
Thanks. And then just, I mean, I'm not going to hold you to the exact specifics, but you mentioned seven projects there. If three projects were terminated, am I right in saying at the end of last year that you were looking at roughly 10 projects? Or are we understanding this idea of a project differently? Would you have various sub projects within a larger project?
Do you want to respond now?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, the latter that the member has mentioned is actually true. What is that if you say Maputa Malachi, but Maputa Malachi Hospital is not one project, there are many other sub-projects within those projects. So as I was just mentioning, the things like in Maputa Malachi, Lidaba and Thabamopo, those are the contractors that, no, those are the contracts that were terminated. Those were the contracts that were terminated. So as I say, but it's many small, many other projects within that big project. Thank you. The 71 million, like I said, we will actually explain when we give the comprehensive. Then you will see where actually it was. But those are the contractors that have now been that have now taken site on the 8th of September. So they're going to.
So we didn't lose the money.
We'll give you time until Wednesday to respond in writing regarding the 71 million treasury. Response from your side, Mark.
Okay. Thanks, Jay. Now, there's two questions, I think, that was directed to the Treasury. The first one was the drop in the budget. It's just to say to the committee that the National Treasury does not determine the individual allocations to provinces. And that is that those allocations are informed by business plan submitted, and the National Transferring Department, in this case it would be the Department of Health, will be able to give better assistance in answering the question. In terms of why the allocation dropped and then picked up again for this particular province. The second question was the question around the interest and why first of all, the interest. To answer the question, currently the interest that is being accrued on the 15 million will remain within the provincial revenue fund. And it If I can recall correctly, what should be the procedure at the provincial level is that the money should still be within the provincial revenue fund or with the provincial treasury before they even transfer it if there's slow spending. But then also in terms of the Division of Revenue Act in Section 10, there are certain responsibilities for the transferring national officer. So Section 10 of DORA, which is subsection 6, says that the transferring national officer must evaluate the performance of programs funded through a conditional grant allocation in respect of a province 4 months after the end of the financial year. So should we get a report, and that report then will be submitted to us, should we get a comprehensive report evaluating the performance in terms of the spending with a suggestion or with a proposal that monies be delayed or transfer be delayed or future transfers then be affected by the current rate of spending from the national department, we will certainly look into the matter. But it would be guided by the recommendation from the National Department of Health.
Did you? Chair, just perhaps to make 3 points. I think the first one, Chair, is we just after listening to these two presentations and the outcome, it's clear that perhaps it might assist the committee if. In the invitation to the provinces, we are also, as national, perhaps requested to assist in the coordination, because somehow some of these issues, I'm sure we would have been able, because we're used to the committee and what is required to assist in terms of the detail that perhaps this committee may want, which may be different from the kind of detail that other committees one. So just as an offer, it might assist so that we standardize the presentations together so that we can assist without interfering between the relationship between the committee and the provinces. Not that you come via us, but just for our purposes to assist the provinces. That's an offer, Jay. It can be rejected or accepted.
My usual offer.
I think the second... The second thing, Chair, relates to this matter of the budget and whether is it because the province doesn't need the money or what. I think the honourable member will note that the infrastructure or this particular grant works on the basis of the cost of the project, the projected cost of the project, the business plan, etc. So in some instances you may have 3 or 4 business plans that have been approved and are into the program, which actually means more money, or one business plan which is more costly than the 2 others in another province as such. So it will fluctuate depending on the business plans that are on the table, and the approved business plans that are then funded eventually by the treasury, and therefore it's not a question of us. We can't change from what DORA has allocated. And if DORA has allocated that this business plan is being funded, then the funds will be equal to what has been approved in terms of the budget. So it's not like now it's changing because of non-performance. No, it's not usually that, except of course when it comes to budgeting. We do, in terms of our input, take into consideration past performance. If, for example, a province is sitting with a budget that is unspent, that is more than, or that is actually more than the money they are then requiring for the financial year. Unless we have an indication that the money that they have, which was not spent previously, will be spent. We're not going to be able to ask for more money on top of that amount of money which is unspent for various reasons, and there are various reasons. I think the third issue, finally, Chair, that I think we do need, you were alluding to it, Chair. I think the provinces are very polite about this matter of the implementing agency.
And I think that politeness, we started that way ourselves before, and so you'll understand. But I think in terms of the community, we need to move from away from that politeness to an engagement in terms of the capacities that are there in the various public works departments versus the because you'll find the same problem in education, in corrections, everywhere. Wherever there is another department, particularly the public works department, having to actually run these projects, this question always arises. And you'll see that in different quarters there'll be a projection of under expenditure, either because that particular agency hasn't submitted the invoices, even if the work has been done, or they have actually not done certain aspects of the work, or they have not been monitoring the project. And when we come in as the department that is actually concerned getting the service, we say, but this is shoddy work, and only then do they start dealing with the issue, and then it delays the project. Or other factors such as the fact that then in the processes of tendering and whatever, then the tenderers take the matter to court. We've had those situations, and then there's delay in the project because the matters are in court and a whole range of things are happening there. So that issue is one key primary issue in terms of infrastructure spending. It's the capacity of the implementing agency to drive these projects and drive multi-projects at the point where the expenditure will go. And that's an ongoing debate that would need to actually be resolved. We're trying to resolve it in government. The committees may contribute towards how to actually resolve that, because it's coming up as an issue from time to time.
It came up last week when we visited the Northern Cape provincial delegation, when we went to the mental health facility, that hospital. And what's coming up within the next 2 weeks, there will be a meeting, a roundtable meeting with the Department of Health, Public Works, the contractors, Provincial Treasury, facilitated by the Portfolio Committee on Health as well as COPA, to deal with the issue just what you've mentioned. So, members, and that's our responsibility, and I point 10 fingers to myself. What do we do when we visit our constituents? What do you look at when you visit a hospital or a clinic? In my closing remarks, I will deal with that, because there is an example that is working. I'll come up with that. Are there any follow-ups?
Mr. Chairman, is there then, in line with what the DG is saying, any point or any constructive work this committee can do with regard to Minister Deutsch and his department trying to coordinate the performance in his department such that the other departments get the service they should be getting? Is that outside the ambit of this committee?
No, I don't think it's outside the ambit. I think we are also learning in this process as new members in the NCLP, when we in the future deal with the revitalization grant, that we also invite the Department of Public Works to come and sit and listen. Invite the FSC to come and sit and listen. What is the challenges experienced in the specific province? We can facilitate that. Then we play our role, I think, more effectively. Honorable Bloom?
Yeah, no, you are right. You see, Chairperson, my experience is that when you are having these departments separately, the one will point the finger at the other. I brought them in one room. I brought them in one room, correctional service and public works. I said, talk now. Where is it? And they were saying, now treasure. The third one, I brought treasury in. I said, yeah, let's talk. But that is the solution, Chair. We must call them and say, because I know public works is a very serious problem, very serious problem. They even could take me to court as well. But that's fine.
We're not going to deal with court cases now.
That's another matter. As Chairperson, my question on this, what is this picture all about? Is it the contracts of the contractors, or what this
pictures. Yeah. What is it supposed to tell us? Because I see doctors' flats and doctors' flats and death works and so on.
Those are just the work in progress. Some of the projects that we have that are going on.
1 million rand.
could be part of it, but not.
Oh, I see.
Honourable members, and thank you for your questions. Thank you to the MEC, HOD, GFO, your DEL team for your presentation. You can see what the challenges are. Gauteng, the next province is Gauteng. MEC, welcome again. You can introduce yourself to the committee and then the rest of your team and go on with the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair, to all the honorable members and the senior officials of all both national and provincial government departments of health and my colleagues as well from the other provinces. We prepared a presentation for all the grants as it was initially stated, and I think if you go through our presentation, you'll see all of what we're going to say with the others. But the acting HOD, which is Mr. Beyersberger sitting over there, he's going to be making the presentation. He's the acting HOD for the two departments combined. You know that previously we used to have health and social development separately. Now they are combined, so now we have acting HOD. Also accompanying in the delegation is Dr. Rahman, Abul Rahman. He's the Chief Operating Officer, and the acting CFO, Caroline, she's also part of the delegation. I'm proud to see you doing the work that you started many years ago. I think we should continue to harass people to account for state resources. So you must continue to do that and strengthen the weak. Chair, I think before I say what I wanted to say, there's one comment that I noted from the DDG from the National Department of Health about the size of hospitals. I'd like to take that debate with the minister because it can't be one size fits all, and you can't take one approach to this matter. Gauteng, we've got some of the biggest hospitals. Chris and the Baragwanath, as we speak, the patients that it caters more than 2,000 patients, and you can't therefore say in revitalizing the hospital you must reduce the size. I don't know what informs that, but it's a debate I'll take on with the minister going forward, and as many as other issues as well that I don't want to pick up. I want to pick up from what I've heard from here. Firstly, I need to indicate that the grant over the years, particularly the HIV and AIDS, you'd be aware that we've been spending the grant 100%. It just happened that in the financial year under review, particularly from last year, 8-9, and this financial year, we are underspending for various reasons that, of course, the department has been met, but that is not the issue. The issue here is that the unit concerned in the Department of Health then did not have the sufficient capacity, and we are currently busy dealing with that issue, getting the right appropriate skills, because the budget also has increased over the period of time. And also to make sure that there are different units in the department that deals with the HIV and AIDS-related issue. We've got the multi-sectoral AIDS unit that runs the HIV programs throughout the province that covers the different sectors, coordinating the AIDS Council, the issues covering municipalities, what they do with the resources that we send to them, as well as provincial government department. That's what the multi-sectoral AIDS unit is doing. On the other hand, we've got HASP, which is the HIV and AIDS, as well as STI and TB unit that also deals particularly with these conditional grants. So it's important to make sure that these two units talk to one another, and our impact around the issues of relating to HIV and AIDS is well coordinated. And to that effect, as we note in the presentation, we are intending to increase the coverage from the 205,000 to 300,000, and that will require additional sites that must be accredited, and make sure that we've got adequate personnel and people are trained sufficiently to be able to roll out to the numbers that we are intending to do. Having said that, I'll allow the HOD to present and we'll deal with the responses from the members. Thank you.
Your mic on.
I wouldn't waste the time. As requested by the chair, I'll go to the content. Just to say, I'm not going to cover all the slides. I'm going to talk to the HIV and AIDS grant. So I'm going to cover slide 3, where I am at the moment. And if you check in terms of slide 3, this is the money released by National for the first quarter, the 189 million, and that's your monthly flow of the money that has been released. And then just to give you a trend over the years, and you would see that in terms of the HIV and AIDS grant, the massive increase over the years. And you see the percentage change ranging from 46 from 6 and 7, 47% increase, 17.12. So we have seen a trend of massive increase in this particular grant, which is very much welcome given the challenges that we are facing. This is the expenditure of the grant that is stood at the end of the first quarter. I think we should note that the current expenditure that is reflected in the books is 8.4%, which is obviously a cause for concern. But also, I just wanted to see if you look at the audited transfers of and the expenditure, particularly for HIV and AIDS grant. That if you look at 7 and 8 and 8 and 9, the expenditure thereof, you see that it was 100%, no audit or opinion, and then we moved to 90% in the last financial year, again with no audit opinion. So it basically roughly says the governance and expenditure around the grant has been reasonably well. But just then I think I'll take you to slide 23. In your the slide 23 just talks to the issue of the monitoring and compliance of the unit dealing with the HIV and AIDS. What basically we have identified going forward is that we need to really look at the issue of the capacity of the unit. We need to restructure it. We need to add people with relevant skills. And appropriate skills. We're talking of epidemiologists, financial managers, project managers, and also I think we looked at the provincial HIV and AIDS Council, and we've revitalized it and put into place. In fact, the MEC had one of the most important meetings with this body very recently, and also the provincial executive committee, which has basically set a specific committee to deal with this particular issue, but also set as items on the agenda. If necessary, they should be accommodating items on the agenda of the PEC dealing with this particular item. If we go to the last item I'd like to talk about, which is slide 24, you'll see that basically the total number of patients that are currently benefiting in terms of the size of ARVs, we are at 205,000, and this includes 20,288 new patients in the first quarter. We have set ourselves a target of 300,000 for the year. Obviously, I think there is cause for concern. We have got 6 months to go, and we have got nearly 100,000 to reach. Just to go to the last slide to say, you have seen that you would have noticed that we have spent 64 million out of the total annual budget of 761. The quarterly release budget is reflected of about 190 or 80 million. That and this point I'd like to stress to the committee, the reflected underspend is the result of the failure of the interface for the charge of medicine supplied to sites. So the medicines were supplied, sites provided the service, patients got their services, but the charging is not reflected in the books. This was as a result of the introduction of the new system in the medical depot. That's the main driver of our under-expenditure. I want to stress that this under expenditure did not or does not translate to the lack of service delivery or compromise in terms of service delivery. It was the failure of the system to interface and the charge basically to be reflected. We basically estimate that the cost of medication that should have been reflected was around 200 million. Also, I've alluded to the issue of the capacity that we need to address. Chairperson, I think that's the reason specifically talking to the grant. Thank you very much.
Thank you, MEC and your team, actually. You mentioned your third last sentence about the system failure. And the charging not reflected in your books. The specific words, the system failure. Now, to trace in the National Department, how can that be corrected? The HUD or the team says that this does not affect the service delivery on time. You will have to explain this, please. That was what was said to the committee now.
Remember, the issue here is that the National Department of Health introduced a new IT system called, through Oracle. And Gauteng was a pilot for that implementation of the system. And when the Gauteng government removed the systems we were using prior, called Metas, we then allowed the new system to interface. And there were difficulties with that interfacing. You'd remember at some point there were articles in the media that hospitals were not receiving medication. Yet medication would have been delivered in a particular clinic or hospital, or sometimes medication was not delivered at all. Subsequent to that, we have written a letter asking the minister to remove the company concern because they were causing us a lot of difficulties. Yet, if the interface is about medication would have been delivered in hospitals, yet the system does not reflect that the medication has been delivered. And in some instances, we find that a wrong medication through this system was delivered in a wrong hospital, and things are mixed up in the process. So after engaging with the service provider, even in instances where I was involved, we then came to a conclusion that this system is not helping us. Actually, it is setting us back, and we're going to end up getting a qualification from the AG as a result of this system. So we've asked the minister to, actually, in our view, we've terminated the services there. We've asked the service provider to move out. We've gone back to the system that the province has always implemented and asked the minister formally to remove the system from our processes.
National Department, you've got that point about the systems. The other, I'm going to give the opportunity to the members. The other point that was made here, we have 100,000 people to reach in 6 months. Do you, just not the question, you can respond to it. What is your plan within the next 6 months to do that? Will you get to your objective, the result you want, or not? You can take note of that question. I'm going to take the hands on the room. Harris, please, Sisi, in that order, please carry on.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Now, it's a follow-up of what the MEC have said. This system, is it affecting all other provinces or only Gauteng? And what is the department say, especially the DG, about this whole thing? Because the MEC is saying they have decided to terminate this whole thing.
Dr. Harris?
Thanks, Chair. Just keeping aside the explanation for the underexpenditure, I think we must just highlight just how bad the underexpenditure is, firstly, before we get there. I mean, you were talking 8% of the budget spent. That's less than half of almost any of the other provincial departments. And on top of not spending 10% of the budget last year, now, in the context of the crisis in the HIV/AIDS and the number of people that will be affected in Gauteng, for 1 in 10 people not to effectively get their money spent on them last year was a massive problem. But, however, okay, let's give them the benefits of the doubt in terms of the accounting system which didn't reflect actual expenditure that took place. The only problem with that argument is that the department, according to the Treasury, has received 189 million rand year to date. And the provincial health department is saying that approximately 200 million did not interface, therefore was not reflected by the system. So where did you get, if you spent 200 million, where did you get the extra 11 million from? Plus the 64, as my colleague says. Something doesn't add up here. If your system wasn't reflecting it, you somehow spent more money than the national actually gave you. Thank you.
Chairman, yeah, I think I must lay off the kind of accounting problems that I see with this explanation, because I think my colleagues have kind of started the ball rolling there, but I don't understand it, to be honest. But let me then raise the question on slide 24. We here today to discuss underspending, and yet we have a comment here that additional resources will be required as a result of the increase in intake of patients. I mean, are we saying that you're actually asking for National Treasury to, or the National Department of Health and National Treasury to allocate more than has already been allocated, despite the fact that it would appear that you're underspending? That's really my concern.
I'll give you the opportunity, Mr. Harris, Mr. Honorable Moshishi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm saying I'm happy that in the projects, one of the projects that we've been following for a very long time, which had failed this month, is indicated here. The province has indicated about the new Zola / Jabulani clinic, the one that is supposed to attend to the needs of communities in a certain section, quite a huge section in Soweto, of 300 beds. Now, that hospital has been standing unfinished for a very long time. Now, fortunately, that challenge has been captured here, and the reasons for the problem have also been indicated. And at least what is encouraging also is the fact that a new constructor has been appointed, and we have been able to see work going on there. So the building has actually commenced. But now, with respect to Barra, the new section is complete, and I don't want to sound like, I'm actually applauding the province. But the work that has been done in Barra, I think if most colleagues here can be able to go and see what has been achieved, most in particular the section there. The physiology section of that particular hospital. It's where it last colleagues. During the provincial week, we went there and we saw for ourselves. It's where it last. I wish our colleagues can be able to go and see what has been achieved. But now, having said that, we discovered that the boilers in the hospital system were not working properly. And the contractor that was given the responsibility to fix the four boilers was only able to fix one boiler. And then when they were supposed to fix the other three boilers, they opened them up and left them unattended to. So it has been recurring
one contractor after the other has been coming to attempt to fix the border. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is that these boilers have caused a leakage in some of the roofs because of the water that is pouring uncontrollably. And that water is leaking into one of the areas where they call state-of-the-art equipment is being kept. And as a result, the hospital management is very disturbed about the fact that new equipment which has just been resourced is going to get damaged. That's the major problem which the hospital has at this point. Thank you, Chairperson.
Just a comment. I see that the minister, the MEC also came with a Mbongi to come and praise him. But it's fine. That's allowed. If Parliament can allow it, that's a Mbongi.
Order. Order. When our new hospital is finished in Kimberley, it will also be a masterpiece.
French, since the issue of contractors, I'm sure it's a national problem. What can be done in order to monitor these people? Because one will get a job in housing, at the same time move to Limpopo and get the same job, but he or she can't be all over. How can the national department assist sometimes to help these people not blacklisted? When you apply for a job, then it must reflect in all the provinces, so that when you go to Free State, you said, no, I want to build the RDP, they go to the machine, they said, you are having 500 in how did you finish them? If you didn't, you don't get that one. We give another somebody a chance. My second question, that it was a comment, and asking the national to assist the provinces. The issue of HIV and AIDS here in the slide number 23. Can we get that slide, please? 23. Yes. It's written there, we have limited capacity in which we need to improve. It doesn't say anything. But if you said, I'm having this number of people, I want this, it will be able to do that, and it will cost so much, then this house can be able to assist. All right, you had an X amount of number, and then you need so much, and it will cost so much. Really, it will help us. Because if we generalize that we have a limited number of capacity and we need to improve, it doesn't talk, the other one, and again, the same thing, limited financial resources to address the huge infrastructure backlog. All right, how much? If it is limited, I'm having X amount, I'll need so much, so that this house can, and also the service that you'll be able to have it. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to recap my question. I think on page 25, if you don't mind going there before you leave quickly. I think there's a spelling mistake if your explanation about the system is correct, because the last line should read, the Prodo actually spent 35% in the first quarter, as opposed to supposed to have. B, Because if you claim 200 million was spent, plus 64 million, so 264 million was spent, despite the fact that the province gave you 189 million. And in the context of, on slide 23, limited capacity in the HIV/AIDS and AIDS space. So there's a real disconnect between what you're telling us. Thank you.
MEC, you and your team can respond to the questions.
Some and the HUD will deal with others. Maybe also I must put this thing in context, that when we took over after the elections on the 8th of November, the department has had a lot of difficulties. You might have read issues around consultants, largely who were running the department parallel to the existing officials, which is one of the biggest challenges that we are currently dealing with. The consultant we're running from being present in the HOD's office, filtering through down to the CFO's office, and including in HR and all of those. So we have to try and arrest that situation and make sure that the departmental officials are brought back into stream and be given their rightful responsibilities that they were employed for. And that's one of the things that I think colleagues here have got to understand where we come from, and I thought maybe we would not get into this detail. And the second challenge is, therefore, they are, for instance, the CFO's unit alone was just run by external people. Hence, the audit opinions of the Auditor General on two consecutive years, things did not improve. Actually, they were getting worse. Even to get to the details we are presenting to this committee, we had to have provincial treasury full-time being based in our office, as well as the national treasury, Kenneth Brown and his team in particular. So we had to, the information we're presenting to the committee, it's information that we're able to salvage through working with people external, external in the sense that they are not from the Department of Health in the province, but from other provinces. So from the, even the Western Cape colleagues at some point were brought on board by the provincial treasurer, national treasurer. And I think what has been of benefit to the department is the measure, because the lady who's acting CFO now and the actual acting CFOs are from the Department of Social Development. Actually, other people were running the finances of the two departments as we speak now. And there are a lot of challenges with that, and I'm not going to begin to camouflage the things members are right about some of the issues that you may not be explaining properly, but it's because of the weaknesses within the department, which I take full responsibility for, and we're in the process of improving that. On the HIV and AIDS unit, currently we've got 8 people managing these so many millions of rand, and the budget has increased over a period of time. What you are going to be seeing in the address coming from this coming Sunday going forward is looking for people. I think I'm told we're looking for 17 additional people in the HIV and AIDS, and those posts are budgeted for, and they are resources to that. The reason why posts are also not filled at that particular point is because there was moratorium on filling posts within the department. Again, the issue of consultancy, who were simply advisors of the department, and people simply thinking that, and they were running the department, so to speak, in that sense. So that's how the issues around the resourcing and of the personnel and some of the challenges that would be, and the weaknesses that would be in our presentation. The issues around Chris and the Paraguayans, I think they are well noted. But when the chair was praising the Eastern Cape and other provinces, the colleague didn't say anything. And KZN, it's okay. It's on a lighter note, Member Bloom. The issue raising about the boilers, it's a really of concern to us. We've already engaged with our colleagues in the Western Cape. The Western Cape, we are learning from them. What they've done, they've got 3 types of boilers in all hospitals, and they've got a boiler that's powered by gas, electricity, and coal. In Gauteng, all our boilers are coal. And of course, from an environmental perspective, it's also a disaster. So we are moving towards making sure that all our boilers at least are run on 3 different forms, gas, electricity, and coal. And that's what we are currently dealing with, as well as we're prioritizing the lifts and the escalators, because you would have read, you are reading in the media from time to time about lifts, escalators, and boilers.
foreigners that are picking up. Remember, the picking up of Ebola has an effect on people who are operating theaters and all of those. So these are concerns that we're fully aware of, and it is a real concern, not only in Chrysalis and Panagwanas, in all the other hospitals, and we're managing these issues on a daily basis. However, the bottom line is, of course, the money is right in our budget votes, but Public Works is our implementing agent. So the issue that the DG was raising early on are real concerns. And what we've agreed in the National Health Council, probably DG will talk to that later, that the departments of health in provinces must employ or establish infrastructure units, which will have engineers, will have quality surveyors, will have architects to plan infrastructure internally. When you give to whatever implementing agent, that agent must get that project having conceived by the relevant department fully understood. So that's what we are currently dealing with. Again, the advert will be going out in the next coming few weeks and dealing with some of those issues. But whatever shortcomings that are there, I think the point you're raising around that we're supposed to, indeed, as I was saying to the acting CFO, actually we've spent more than the 64 million. It is 200 million plus 64, it's 264. So what we should be reflecting is this problem, is a result of the method of the interface between BAS and the other systems. But whatever weaknesses that are there, members, if there are specific issues want us to correct on and to reflect properly, we'll endeavor to do that at the time frame that you set for yourself, Chair. Thank you.
No, thanks, Chair. It becomes very difficult on the MCF, almost touched on most of the issues. But let me without
put your mic.
Without really spoiling what you said, is that it's very true that the estimated expenditure could be up to 35%, because it's not only the estimate we are making in terms of the interface for medication, but there is quite a possibility of accruals from the last financial year with treasury. Both national treasury and provincial treasury have brought to our attention. So it's quite possible that the amount of movement of money here could be in that particular region. Then going to the other slide, talking about the generalization about the issue of capacity. Just to say, if you go to the second bullet following there, you would see that we are specific about the categories. I think it's slide 24. We are specific about the categories of personnel, in particular, that we'd like to bring into the department. We could do a bit of more work in terms of costing what exactly it would cost us. Also, when you talk about the pathology grant, about that we think the grant and the needs are huge, it's because we have done an assessment of the state of mutuals, the work that needs to be done in mutuals. And I think definitely both in terms of infrastructure, in terms of various new fringes, equipment, I think we are aware that there is a huge need in mutuals, in mortuaries, to actually turn around the situation. Just to say that we have, I think, a very ambitious target in terms of increasing the number of people on ARVs or ARTs. I think if you check that currently we are 205. The cumulative is 225, and we want to go towards 300,000, and the amount of time that is remaining. I think it's an ambitious target. And sometimes it helps to be ambitious. And to be honest, we have to say that the medication for this particular intervention is one of the key cost drivers. And I think the program managers have said, if we were to work, develop the plans include the chaperone, making sure that people stop traveling long distances to get treatment, because we feel one of the reasons that will make sure that there is a high dropout rate in terms of treatment, the failure of people to have accredited sites next to the places that they are having, is one of the things that will make the people not to take their treatment regularly. So our plans include accrediting more sites, particularly at the district level,
nearer to where the people are staying, basically training more of our staff members, employing extra nurses, and just to say that in fact the output from our colleges in terms of nurses have already been amazing in terms of employing those numbers. So the plans are basically in place. What we are saying is that as we hit those numbers, the reflection on the budget might actually not be good. We might have to just maybe engage with treasury in terms of that. I think the MEC, most of the of the issues would have been well covered by the MEC. Thank you, Chair.
MEC, are you through? There are two members sitting here. Are you okay?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Now, MEC, you see, the reason why I picked up of your Bongi Yi was better than the others. That's why that's why I commented about him. He's a trained professional in Bongi. Chairperson, sorry. Yeah, no, he's from Gauteng. I know him very well. He learned this skill in prison on Robben Island, the skill. But Chairperson, the issue of acting, you see, we are sitting with two acting people here, and I know that it's a problem. You know, my question is to the MEC, when are these people, this post going to be filled permanently? That is the first one. Because I know the CFO have just said that it's true, it's an ambitious target that you are having. You know, after 3 months, we call the department back again. And then there's a new person. And that new person will say, no, you see, those people were too much ambitious. I know that's why I'm asking, when are they going, is the MEC going to fill this vacant post? Thanks.
Honorable Harris.
I know this is the last session and everybody's keen to finish, but if you'll allow me quickly, I just wanted to talk about the numbers a little bit for two reasons. One, because they're so enormous. And secondly, because I want to try and understand how it works. So this question goes as much to the National Department and the Treasury. But now, this, in terms of this grant, there was 64 million rand underspent in 2000, 68 million rand underspent last year. Firstly, what happens to that money? Do you have to give it back to Treasury? And then secondly, in the context of that, the presenter said that the MEC said that the department had spent up to 264 million, despite the fact that Treasury only has given them 189 million so far. So that leaves 75 million. The presenter said that some of that may be due to accruals. What I want to get a sense of is, are we talking about 75 million rands of accruals, or was there some additional expenditure to cover that 200 million that the province has spent above and beyond 189 from Treasury? And if so, where did that money come from? Does the province get to top up conditional grant budgets?
Very spot.
Yeah. Now, just to say that the processing, I think the CFO can assist. The processing comes from the inter, basically the what can I say, the total provincial allocation. It's not that the processing is specifically on the transfers. Definitely the transfers that have been processed, and then let me say firstly, the money has not been spent. This is our estimate. It's a projection. We came to the committee because we are saying that as we speak, at the end of the first quarter, 8% was spent. So in terms of the actual movement of the money, at the end of the first quarter, there was 8% expenditure. We further said to the committee, we estimate, because of the lack of the interface,
we estimate, and I want to emphasize, that there would be 200 million further expenditure to this particular grant. If there is an over expenditure, which is now your follow-up question, if, say, we spend more than the 190 or 89 allocated by the treasury, where is the extra money coming from? I would say that basically would be coming from the provincial transversal. What's the equitable share? Okay.
Okay. I just want to comment on the unspent funds in the previous financial year, the 68 million. What the department has done has, we have requested, we did an application for a rollover of unspent fund to national. We are still waiting for approval from them. So hopefully it will assist in keeping the over expenditure on this grant.
It's still sitting on the 68.
No, the 68 that was unspent,
yeah.
We did an application for a rollover to national.
But you have the money, it's been transferred to you already last year.
No, it's not yet approved. We're waiting for approval from national.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I think we need to differentiate approved and transferred. The question is, did the 68 million get transferred to you last year and now you want to roll it over, or was the money not transferred and you want to roll it over to get the money?
Can we try and explain that, Chair?
You want to come in?
Yes, okay. Can we just explain that, Chair? I think so that it's clear. When it comes to funds that we withhold at national, because perhaps the province hasn't met certain criteria, particularly I think it will be Schedule 5 grants, where we have the capacity to withhold the money. Then if the financial year ends and the money is still with us, then we will approach the National Treasury for a rollover of those funds. Where the money has been transferred to the province, the province applies to its own treasury for the rollover of those funds. So the money that we're talking about was transferred to the treasury, and therefore the expenditure would have to be rolled over from the provincial treasury, not the national. So in this case, the 68 million that you're talking about is in the provincial coffers, and would then be requested the rollover from the provincial coffers, not from the national.
Treasury?
Thanks, Chair. Just to add on what the DG has said, if the money is not surrendered to the National Revenue Fund and it's still with the province, we would also ask for proof of commitment. And then we would give an indication to the provincial treasury whether we are in agreement that money, that it's okay for them to approve a rollover to the provincial department. So we are still in the process of finalizing that, and the Minister of Finance will approve it ultimately. So we haven't issued any letters to say that a rollover is approved or not approved at this point in time. Not yet.
Any other contributions from your side?
Yes, Chairperson. There are a couple of matters that were raised in this discussion that perhaps National was requested to comment on. First, the Honourable Bloom wanted to know about the system, whether the system that we're talking about is actually in all provinces, and if so, what is the impact of that? As the Honourable Embassy suggested, the system was actually being rolled out and starting with Gauteng, and then it hadn't actually basically rolled out in all provinces. Gauteng was the first one, and then there would be four other provinces would be actually following up in that process. Part of the challenge we have, which is part of the challenge we have, which is always a challenge in this case, is that between us, the province and the service provider, we have to satisfy ourselves first nationally as an accounting officer that the processes of termination of that contract have followed all the procedural basis. Because we sit at national, therefore, with a problem of contractual breach, because it's a national contract. And therefore, we would come to SCOPA here. It won't be the province that comes to SCOPA to account for that when we have a legal challenge on that matter. So we have to satisfy ourselves that the processes of dealing with that issue were not with the province, but were with the service provider. And we are advanced at actually dealing with that matter in order to actually answer the question about whether we could actually roll out or not roll out or withdraw or all sorts of things like that. We don't want to get into a contractual breach on an arbitrary basis, because at the end of the day, we account, in fact, as accounting officers, we account for these kinds of contracts. So we are very careful with regard to those matters. So indeed, we are very much aware, we are involved in this process of what's happening in Gauteng with regard to this particular service provider. And we're more or less finalizing those matters in relation to that. So in short, the system as such hasn't rolled out to other provinces. And now Gauteng is one of the lessons to ensure that we either don't roll out at all because it's a failure of the system, or it's a failure of the kinds of capacity processes that are linked to it, and therefore we have to look at other contractual arrangements. So that's the one matter. Incidentally, the Honourable MEC alluded to what the Honourable DDG, what the DDG said about the hospitals. Just to say that conversation is a very important conversation, because all these matters come from national policy. It's not just the DDG's views on the matter. It's something that National Health Council, previous National Health Councils, looking at the evidence all over the world, suggested we put up as norms and standards for the kind of structural arrangements that we do. So if we review those, we'll have to actually review them in that context of the National Health Council policy norms and standards. So I just wanted to clarify that this is not just the DDG's view. It's something that has been followed in terms of how we follow the approval of these projects. I know, for example, here in this province, in the Western Cape, we had a situation where there was the Khayelitsha Hospital and the Mitchells Plain Hospital, and there was a very strong view, political view, that perhaps that kind of thing follows the kind of geographical divisions of apartheid, which we must try and dismantle, and therefore why don't we build in the middle of the two townships a huge hospital, a 1,800-bed hospital, which in fact was a debate, and it was a very strong debate about it. Politically, perhaps the best way, the best route to go, administratively thought not to be the best route to actually go. So I would just to explain the background to that statement, and so that members know when it comes back and there's been a change, it was not just the DDG's position on the matter. The chairperson, I think those are the two matters that actually came for National to actually comment on.
Thank you to the DG. MEC, any further inputs?
Yes, thanks, Chair. There were some issues that were raised by the members, including Member Bloom. One about the filling of the post, when are we going to fill the post and stuff like that. Firstly, to say that we are putting a monitoring mechanism in place in the Department of Monitoring weekly expenditure, so that we can arrest this over expenditure, not only on this grant, but across the board,
because over expenditure in the department, in the province, has become a way of doing things. So we are putting there is a team that on a weekly basis they are monitoring how we have spent, and also the monthly financial statements that are being discussed as a management tool to see whether we can stop other areas and try and accelerate others on the basis of making sure that at the end of the financial year we've delivered quality of healthcare, but also we have not overexpended resources unnecessarily. And the second is around the filling of vacant posts. I think it's my desire as well to have everybody full-time being confirmed. And that process, as I said earlier, adverts are going to be coming out effectively from this coming Sunday. For the next coming month or so, we're going to be getting interviews done. My sincere hope is that by beginning of November, latest December or January, we should have people in place being full employed. Where we are not in a position to fill posts, particularly in the HIV and AIDS unit or even in the CFO's department as a whole, we are going to opt for some contractual employment of 2 to 3 months people so that we can be in a position to make sure that our programs are not compromised unnecessarily. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to come back to the issue around the surrenders, because I needed to just confirm that we have not received an application from the department for a rollover for the 68 million of last year. But the money is still in the provincial revenue fund. So we have sent a letter to ask to say that money should be surrendered with no currently possibility of it being approved for rollover.
Okay.
Yes. I just wanted to comment on that we are busy finalizing letters to provincial treasury to surrender the funds which were unspent in the previous financial year, and it will be sent by Monday to treasury to surrender the unspent funds.
Everything captured. MEC, thank you for your presence, bringing your team. Thank you for your submission you made to the committee, to the DG of the National Health Department of Health. Thank you for your presence, and Treasury, honorable members. To the Eastern Cape, well, they left, the other provinces that stayed, thank you for staying. And we are all learning as a family how to improve our services to be delivered to our people outside. One thing that came up, and it's not only in this meeting, is our question about capacity. The influence of lack of capacity on service delivery outside. Other point is management. And health has got lots and lots of challenges, not only in a province, in all the provinces. The question about monitoring, to manage, but also to monitor and control, and accountability. And lastly, the monitoring tool. Is that monitoring tool the same tool for all provinces? And then, do the select committees, doesn't matter which one, have a monitoring tool when they go out to do oversight? What do they have in their hand? What is the questions you go and ask when you visit a hospital, a clinic, a police station, a school? When you go and do inspection on the road, what's the quality of the road? What's the quality of a building being built? And I think that is an issue that we will have to take up to assist us in our oversight. Honourable members, thank you for your participation in this meeting. We're going to release the departments and the provinces because there are a few in-house issues we have to deal with regarding next week. And when we come back, our program further. So we'll give our guests a few minutes to leave the room. Thank you. your presence. Enjoy your weekend. If you drive, drive safely. If you fly, fly safely.